Welcome to Grace Break Radio, where your host, Tracy Worley, that's me, brings a bit of grace, mercy, and courage to your day. Join us today for an infusion of God-inspired thoughts, questions, and laughter along the way. Hi, everyone. Welcome again to Grace Break. This is Tracy Worley, and as always, my time with you on Monday is what gets me moving for the day and week. And ever have one of those people pop into your life and continually make a positive impact, and then you adopt them into your family? Well, today's guest, Barry Smith, is just one of those people in my life, and looking forward to sharing him with all of you today. And seriously, we've adopted each other in each other's family, so if we call each other brother or sister, it's just because of that relationship we have honed in. And Grace Break is all about refining energy, movement, and thought. And today, Barry will share his new book, Leadership by Invitation. And, you know, I can say so much about you, go through your bio, and just really quick, Barry lives in Corbett, Oregon, a rural community about a half hour east of Portland. Barry and his wife, Michelle, celebrated their 26th wedding anniversary this year, and they have two sons. Their oldest son, Scott, has graduated from the University of Hawaii, and their youngest, Spencer, is a junior at Boise State University. Go Blue! And Barry, in your career in 30 years, has always been in leadership, construction, and you partnered with the John Maxwell Organization, I believe, in 2011. And through this, you've put full-time efforts into working globally to help others reach their potential and overcome the challenges that we all face on a daily basis. Barry, congratulations on the book and the positive impact it's already having, and it's not even on the shelves yet.
Thanks, Tracy. it's a big deal for me. I'm really excited. In fact, I'll be real honest with you, just a few minutes ago, I just opened up an email that had the full graphics for the cover, front and back. And, you know, it is. Reality is probably about a month away. And like you say, it's already making impact. I've got some great reviews from some of my peers. And, you know, you don't know. You don't know when you enter your first real book project like this, how it's going to be received, if it's really going to make a difference. And my intent was large. I had a big vision going into this, that I wanted this book to make a difference and create some significance and you know, really touch lives and move the needle for people. And, you know, with what I've heard so far, the potential is there. A fellow mentor of both of us, Carrie Oberbrunner, has read through the book, and, you know, he had positive comments about it. When you take a published author that affirms your work, it's a big deal. But I'm excited, Tracy. It's great to be on with you this morning. I definitely want to get that out there. And I'm just, you know, God has blessed me so much over my life and helped me through difficult times. And Leadership by Invitation is really about that. You know, that we're in tough times right now. Our culture, our economy, there's a lot of things going on right now that are putting a lot of strain on people. And I think leadership can change that. And I think our ability to answer that invitation to lead is not only the plan that God has for us, but it's the plan that will take us to a place that really not too many of us get to go, and that's the life of living out our dreams and our real design created purpose. And my hope is that the book will be able to move that needle for people and help them get there, because they're missing out. If they're not leading, they're missing out. I truly believe that.
Absolutely. And, you know, part of the basis of the book is, and I think, well, I just know, I'm not going to think about it, why those of us that have been privileged enough to read it ahead of time, what is connecting is your transparency and the vulnerability to basically say, hey, you know, here I was, and I thought the security was in the full-time job in corporate world, 401k, retirement, health insurance. And so often we are so far out of alignment of our purpose so we don't see it. And, you know, this is, I really believe that that's where you're going to resonate. And you pull us into the book, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, he is like stripping the veils down here and really being vulnerable in the process of recognizing in walking away from what Western society deems as security and success, right? And creating your own path. So can you speak to us a little bit about that and what you shared with us in the book about that vulnerability of just walking away?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, and you started out, you know, this little conversation here with authenticity and transparency, and I'll tell you, you know, we've only known each other for, you know, 2 or 3 years, somewhere in there, and if you would have known me 4 or 5 years ago, those were not words that would be used to describe me. You know, I was outgoing, yet I was very protective and very shielded and you know, didn't want the, you know, the bad side or the weak side, I guess maybe is the right way to put it, of me to be out there. And my journey over the last 3 years of really stepping away from a job that I'd been so consumed by that I really had disconnected with who I was. And then my journey back from that, you know, over these past few years has really made me realize that things like authenticity and transparency, that's how we connect with people. And when you're real and when you're vulnerable and you lay it out there and you really take a leap of faith, I mean, that's what it comes down to. And I've always been I feel like I've always been a strong person of faith, but maybe I never practiced it. You know, deep down inside, I knew God would take care of me. But, you know, I wasn't doing anything that really represented that. And this whole journey has taken me to a different level of awareness, to where I'm cool with it now. I can just lay it out there because, you know, it's just me. And everybody should just be who they are and not try and hide behind some, you know, false sense of reality, because it's not only going to hurt them in a short term, it's going to hurt them in the long term. And I truly believe that we all have a mission to complete here on earth. God created us for a purpose, and we need to live in that purpose. That's where our sweet spot is. That's where we're going to make a difference and become significant in our world. You know, we're going to really, all we have to leave behind is our legacy. And when I started thinking about that, that was one of the early factors in kind of giving me the confidence to step out and step away from a security blanket that I had for 30 years. So I'll tell you, it's been quite a journey, Tracy, and I'm honored that you've kind of been a part of it. You've been able to witness some of that change, and certainly we've become close over the last few years. And, you know, I know you're always in my corner, too, and that's pretty cool.
Well, it is. You know, every time we get together, we share more of a story and how parallel, you know, it is. But there's so many people who can parallel with our story. You know, corporate world. I left corporate about the same time you did, except fall of 2011. And just from your first chapter, and then we're going to move deeper into the book, but the first chapter, and this is notes that I took, from 2011 to 2014, your personal awareness, Barry's personal awareness, has honed into a maturity that most people cannot or will not achieve in their lifetime because they're not willing to go through the pain. And that's where listeners, you know, we're fearful to leave our jobs, and we know that it's going to be painful to go through the process to refine who we're meant to be. And I just want to tell you that and tell our audience, you know, don't be fearful. You know, God's got our back. Surround yourself with people who are also going to help you through that. So just really quickly, the pain process, the refinement, now that you're kind of at, you know, totally on the back end of that refining period, What's a few tools that you can share with us that made it easier to go through that?
Oh, I'm not sure I'm at the back end yet. Maybe I am, but, you know, it's just a continual process, Tracy. And as far as the pain, I think, you know, a large part of the pain came from really letting go of an identity that I had that was not really based on who I was. It was based on what I did. And I think the tools, the biggest tools for me, and I talked about it a little bit in the book, was mm-hmm. finding someone to believe in me. You know, because I had, when you start heading down a road that really takes you back to the roots of who you are, that's been something that's been gone for so long. You know, I mean, honestly, I can't remember how long ago it would have been to where I was really acting in a way that represented who I was. You know, it had been what I did for so many years, and that pain of just, of, you know, really breaking down everything that, you know, on the outside I represented, and to just, you know, really just kind of to just break the glass and start over, start anew. And it was challenging and it was tough. And if it weren't for my faith and it weren't for, you know, really turning to God and saying, God, you know, you gotta give me some direction here. You gotta help me out, because this is all brand new, you know, really starting over. And, you know, so leaning on God, I think, definitely made a difference. And bringing people into my life, you know, other faith-based people, you know, I think that's important when you start talking about values and morals. But, you know, I honestly don't think there's a greater gift we can give to anybody here on earth other than to believe in them. And, you know, when someone believes in you, and I know you damn this, when someone believes in you, it's empowering. And that empowerment is, I think, what helped me, you know, kind of take it to another level. And then it's a gradual process into using that self-confidence to just not care about, you know, some of the little things anymore. And you just do the right thing. And you're good in that. You know, you're good in your own skin.
Yep. And you talked about, you know, people who believe in you. And I definitely want to get to one of the bigger pieces of story, but, you know, and you and I have talked about this, is when we're surrounded by like-minded people who are in alignment of where we know we need to go, and we spend time with those people, sometimes we come home and our spouses and our best friends and our family have no idea and they cannot relate. So that's another tool, too, and I don't want people to be discouraged, you know, as they go through a refining process, that it's really okay, yeah, because we're going to have spouses and family and friends who don't understand what we're doing. And that's okay. Just keep communicating it. And so, you know, if we're married, just keep communicating, navigating where we're going, right? And that's what you have had to do with your family. And at some point, we outgrow relationships. And I'm not talking about our spouses, so this isn't an excuse to, you know, say you're not in alignment with where I'm going, because that's off the table. But we do have relationships in our life, whether they're some family members or friends, that we may have to walk away for a while as you refine into that purpose. So can you give us a really quick tool on what you did to kind of do that pruning of negative people in your life as you walked away?
Oh, well, I recognized early on that, you know, there's victims and there's victors, and the victims are going to suck the life right out of you. Now, that being said, there's people that are going to suck the life out of you that you don't really have an opportunity to get away from. Now, I'm not suggesting mm-hmm. that's my family. It hasn't been my family, but there's still those people out there, and you know, you've got to just take control of your life. You've got to be able to overcome that. And you know, as far as, and I loved what you said about communication, because that's huge. I mean, I know your basic audience is women. Totally mm-hmm. awesome, great cause. You know, I totally support that. But ladies, I mean, think about this for a minute. If you're married, just kind of work with me on this. your spouse for 30 years has gotten up in the morning, drove to work, to an office or to a job site, to wherever. He comes home at night, and on Friday he gets a paycheck for 30 years, every week, same thing. Now all of a sudden, he's not getting up, not going to the office, not getting a paycheck on Friday. Security, stability, those are words my wife and I talk about a lot and how important they are to a wife. So, gals, man, just, you know, if your husband, if your significant other, and this would work for your kids too, you know, if pray with them, talk, communicate, because if it weren't for the understanding that this was God's path for me, I don't think this would have worked, because this has been a huge transition and transformation, not only for me, but for our marriage and for my wife to go through this. You know, it's no pain, no gain, and there's the gain that, you know, we have a brighter future now, and I'm a different person, and I don't get kept up at night worrying about things about tomorrow. I wake up in the morning, you know, just like today. I woke up, alarm went off, and I'm like, yeah, first thing on the list, interview with Tracy. How cool is that? You know, and to turn back the clock 3 years, everything I do every day is something I never would have envisioned 3 years ago. And I'm just amazed by it. And I understand that with that blessing comes responsibility. And just like we're doing right now, and just like my calling to get this book done, you know, there's things God has planned for us. Well, we need to do them. And we need to be receptive to that and open. And then we need to act. You know, it's one thing to know what God wants us to do. It's another thing to do it. I mean, we all understand that. And that's a challenge every day for me. You know, he wants me to do stuff that's outside my comfort zone, and you know, we all know that's not so easy sometimes. But I know that that's what I'm meant to do. That's what he created me to do, and I will continue to do that. You know, and I become stronger every time I listen to him and every time I follow that direction. So it's been pretty cool, Tracy. I'll be honest with you. It's just been amazing. It's like I got a new lease back on life, just the people I've been able to meet and the impact I'm able to have. It's tremendous. And that's part of the reason I'm so excited about the book coming out, because I've already had positive feedback, and I just can't wait to see what it's like when it's really, you know, out there and people are purchasing it and I'm getting feedback. And I'm so excited about it. I really appreciate your support, too. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, I just, you know, once we start following into that path and, you know, shoving you out of your comfort zone, you know, I'm the number one sister in the group that is disobedient. Like, if I'm told, I'm going to ask why 10 times, or I step forward without asking questions and then I get in trouble. So I haven't quite figured out the obedience, disobedience, and
I hear you.
But I've always told everybody, if you want to use me as an example in your keynote about disobedience, so right ahead.
Oh, I think we share that. So maybe that's part of what's brought us together and bonded us like it has. Oh,
so let's jump into, I mean, there's so many great things about the book and just some really, you know, life-changing experiences. And one story that you share in the book is going to Guatemala.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was real. My heart just kind of did a little pitter-pat when, and this is vulnerability, is the first time I've ever left North America. In going to Guatemala and training people in Spanish, and you don't speak Spanish. So you're also learning how to work with translators. And just a little backstory of that, you were given an invitation with the John Maxwell team and Equip to go to Guatemala and train leaders of values-based training model.
Yeah.
And in that interim, you had a day where you were at a fire station. So tell me about who you met at a fire station.
Oh, boy. see if I can get through this. Yeah, this is one of those stretch things. You know, I've always had a soft spot in my heart for kids, and you know me well enough to know that I'm pretty much just a big kid, and maybe that's why. But it was the third of 3 days that we were training, and we were at a fire station, Guatemala City. Me and a colleague, my buddy Bermuda Bob, and we were working with about 35 firefighters in this room, and it was kind of a four-hour program is what we've been doing to do the training. And this kid is in the room, and I'm just a 5, 6, 7-year-old kid. I don't really understand why he's in the room, and it wasn't a big distraction, but as we're going through the training, my eyes, you know, and maybe my heart at the same time keep gravitating toward this kid. And you know, early on in the training, I try and connect with, you know, the group. And I ask, how many do you have kids, you know? And of course, you know, in almost every case, you know, everybody's raising their hand. Almost everybody has kids. And I said, all right, now I want you to shut your eyes and, you know, for just envision those kids. And I just let it go silent for about maybe 10 seconds or something. And I said, now I would like you to envision the world that you would like those kids to grow up in. And I just let it stay silent, you know, 30, 45 seconds. And, you know, just kind of set the stage that maybe this is going to be different than something they ever went through before. And so we go on, and I just keep gravitating back to this kid, and he's back messing around with some stuff on the floor. And we get into a part of the training where the translators, the people being trained, the firefighters are kind of doing some interaction, and the translators are walking around to see if they have any questions. And Bermuda Bob and I kind of got a break, you know, we kind of become observers. And so I get over there with this kid, and we're talking, and of course he speaks Spanish, and I speak English, and maybe we're both understanding about, you know, every third word or something. I'm doing the best I can with what Spanish I know, and he's laughing about his feet, something about his feet, and I don't know, you know, this was a God thing. I said to him, I said, now I got to remember what I said. Tengo zapatos grande también, and that means I have big shoes too. And don't ask me where I got that from, but I mean, it was 25 years since I was in Spanish class, and the kid's cracking up, and we're bumping fists and high-fiving and stuff, and then pretty soon I kind of get that reality check, like, oh, I'm here to be training these folks on leadership and personal growth, and I kind of, you know, step away from the kid, and we go on for the rest of the day. But I kind of kept looking back at him and stuff. And we wrapped up, and, you know, everybody, there was definitely a change in that room that day. And it was something that was, you know, happening over and over over those 3 days for, you know, the 150 coaches that were down there. And, you know, you could just tell there was a different sentiment. The people got it, you know, and when I wrapped it up, I said, you know, I went back to the kid, and I put my hand down on his shoulder, and I go, this is why we're here. I said, you remember earlier this morning when I asked you to envision that future that you would like your kids to grow up into? That's why we're here. You have that opportunity today to start creating that future. And, you know, and everybody was just all excited, you know, and there's definitely the hype and the excitement from what we had just been through. And we were kind of wrapping up, and I went out in the hallway, and, you know, we're just kind of talking to the fire chief, and we're getting ready to go. And I feel this tug at my coat, and I look down, and here's this little guy with his arms, you know, stretched up with that universal, give me a hug, you know, a sign. And I got down on a knee and just embraced that little guy. And I didn't realize it at the time, but the fire chief, I mean, it was also surreal. The fire chief grabs my camera out of my hand and snaps that picture. And that picture, I just saw the graphics. That picture is on the back cover of the book. And, you know, it's one of those pictures worth a thousand deals, words. And so much more to me in that picture, you know. And I tell the story that as far as the defining moments of my life, the biggest was probably the day I said I do, you know, almost 26, 27 years ago. The 2 days I heard it's a boy when Scott and Spencer were born. But really, the fourth greatest defining moment of my life was June 15th, the last year in Guatemala City. And when I embraced that kid and what I felt and what I went through that day, those 3 days, that whole week, really, really told me what my purpose was. And that was building what matters, and what matters is people. And then my whole mission forward is to invest in others, because there's so much potential out there for everybody. And, you know, honestly, there's just a lack of reaching that potential. And I think a lot of it is just because we're afraid or we don't know how. And all it takes is someone to step into our life and go, you know what, you can do this. You can make a difference. You can be who God created you to be. And it was a total mind shift for me on, you know, what my mission was moving forward. And really, I mean, and you read it, you know, that whole event, along with some things that took place that kind of set that trip up, really inspired me to write the book, because it's a world, it's a fallen world. When we were down there in Guatemala, the people were just starving for leadership.
Yep.
And as I reflected on that when I got back home, you know, we just have such a hard time seeing the parallels between a first world country and a third world country sometimes. But when I got back home, I realized it's no different here. People are starving for leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And the bigger problem here is that we're so inundated every day with just noise and clutter that, we're living in the overwhelm. And, you know, we don't have time to lead. We don't have time to think about it. Everybody's looking out for number one, and rather than a collaborative culture, we're in a competitive culture. And it just, you know, we need to slow down. We need to stop. We need to support each other and, invest in one another, believe in each other. And I just, you know, we're not spending enough time right now taking care of our fellow man. And I
right.
think that's what's really drawn me to, you know, the new tribe that I've been engaged with, you know, so to speak, that, you know, just people who want to go out and make a difference. I've been surrounded by people most of my life, you know, for the most part, that just want to take. And, man, I'll tell you what, at almost 49 now, it wears you out. And I'm just re-energized now, Tracy. And I know you know that. I know you've seen that. But I'm just re-energized because I got a mission that's real. I am making a difference. And, you know, it's what I want to do. It's my calling. It's my purpose. And it's my mission. And I'm having a blast. And God's blessing me.
Love it. So just we've got a little bit over 2 minutes left. But I want you to read that quote that we talked about before we got on air today.
Yeah.
And for those that are listening, like, where do I start? How do I talk about this? And I think that this quote really sums it up. So can you read it for us, please?
Yeah, you bet. How do you put into words something that you've never done before, place you've never been before, with people you've never met before, that made you feel like you've never felt before? And I use that in a blog post. You know, while we were down in Guatemala, there were so many people mm-hmm. supporting us that I want, you know, I was blogging daily on things that were going on. And the day I posted the picture of that little boy, I used that quote, and I finished it with these two words: you don't. And it's just, you know, sometimes we don't have to explain it in words, Tracy. We just need to go out and do it, and you just feel it. You feel the
yep.
change. You can see it on someone's face. You know, from you know, 30 years in construction, you know, it always had to work on paper first. And life doesn't always work on paper. And, you know, and like I said, the greatest gift we can give to someone is to believe in them. And we don't have to explain things all the time. We just need
right.
to go out and do it. We need to love people. We need to love our brothers and our sisters. But we need to go out and act. We can't think about it. We can't sit home. We need to get out there. We need to get out there amongst the people.
And with
I love
word
what John.
Act,
yeah.
Our 30 minutes, of course, have gone really fast. I want everybody to know how they can act and get a hold of you. So if you want to know more about Barry, leadership by invitation or invite him to speak at your organization, go to buildingwhatmatters.com or go to gracebreak.com. And Barry, again, thank you for sharing your wisdom and bringing us into your heart today.
Until next time.
Yep, go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, Tracy. This has been great, and I look forward to the possibility of engaging with your Grace Break tribe a little bit, you know, maybe down the road here. That would be awesome. I know you're doing great things, so keep up the great work.
So are you. Thank you. Until next time, look up and out, my friends. This is Tracy Worley.